Hello.
Hello and welcome to the Financial Sanity Hour with Alan Lesauer and myself, Helena Lay Lesauer, Alan's daughter. We actually work at the same company, Advanced Economic Strategies, and I've been helping my father for 3 years now. He's been at it for four, almost five, with our economy. In case there are people out there listening who have not heard about our show, we have a company, Advanced Economic Strategies, where we help a lot of people save their home from foreclosure. We help people lower their interest rates. We help people settle out credit card debt, lower their interest rates, or just help them manage their financial debt burdens in general. Dad, do you want to say anything?
Yes, I do. First, I want to thank everyone for listening, even those listeners in Alaska. How are you up there in the north? And we know we're being heard in a lot of places. Primarily, we are located in Southern California, and we are going to be on a television show called The Best Kept Secrets, which is The Best Kept Financial Secrets. And they're doing an interview with myself and a number of our customers. So any of you who watch KTLA, check that out on your listings. It's an interesting segment with reporter John Hall. And, you know, a lot of things have come up this week, some of them very disturbing and some good, as always. But it seems to me, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you've worked on this yourself, that the banks are becoming slower or more obstinate about the way they're performing. It's almost like they're laying back, and I wonder, have you had that experience at all?
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of problems with some of the files that I've been working on, especially, you know, with Bank of America home loans, but even with IndyMac or Wells Fargo or other lenders such as City Mortgage. The more regulations that have occurred, the longer the process, so they're questioning every nitty-gritty detail on people's tax returns. They're looking at their credit reports. Some people are showing their you know, back when they lived with their parents in their parents' homes, and that's showing on their tax returns. So the bank is trying to use that as lack of owner-occupied, you know, saying, oh, why is this address on your credit report when you live here? Well, that was my parents' house 10 years ago. I don't know why I saw my credit report, but it's there. There's a lot of lack of understanding, and therefore, it's really much harder to get help these days. So we actually have an interesting story that we'll be airing with us at 4:30 today by a woman. Her name is Josie, and she's going to be representing her husband. She'll tell you more about the details, but it's the wife of a chief of a fire station over here in Los Angeles, and they've experienced a horror story with Bank of America. I mean, talk about insanity. This is something that most people wouldn't even fathom. So if you're interested in a very juicy corruption story, make sure to keep on listening and be tuning in by 4:30. But I just wanted to go into the latest news. One of the articles that were posted today on CNN Money, half of the mortgage borrowers under 40 are underwater. According to New York CNN Money, rising home prices helped nearly 1 million homeowners emerge from being underwater on their mortgages during the second quarter, but the younger homeowners are still struggling to stay afloat, according to a report from Zillow. The percentage of borrowers who owed more on their homes than they were worth fell to 30.9 during the second quarter, down to 30.14 3 months earlier, according to Zillow. Of the 15 million borrowers who were underwater during the quarter, a disproportionately large number are under the age of 40, said Zillow chief economist. Dad, what's your response on that?
Well, I think what happened during the years 2002, 2003 and on is a lot of people became first-time home buyers, and they bought into the American dream, which is a wonderful dream. It's a dream of home ownership, a nice three-bedroom, two-bath home. If you could afford more, What happened, though, these people were earning a reasonable living, and they were given mainly interest-only loans. And that was because they were earning reasonable, but they really couldn't afford as much house as they bought. So they went out and got an adjustable loan, interest-only. And when in those areas where all these new-time buyers bought, prices kept on rising. They kept on selling more homes. When these adjustable rates came due and they turned into principal and interest, or they just wouldn't change or, you know, allow the buyers to have a reasonable mortgage rate, there were foreclosures. Now, if you get one foreclosure out of 10 in those areas, it'll drive home prices down. The more you drive home prices down, the worse it becomes. And so those areas where younger buyers bought, and I'd say younger, between 30 and 40, got hit very hard. Some of those are in the Inland Valley, what we're very aware of, Riverside County, San Bernardino County, a little town here called Reseda is another place like that, Woodland Hills. These were younger buyers, first-time home buyers, federally insured, many of them. And it's become a serious problem. I do take issue with the fact that, how many people did you say?
48%, nearly half, or 48% of all mortgage borrowers under 40 are underwater.
Not
about
that.
Twice the rate of the borrowers who are
not
older.
Not that so much, but the fact that you said people were lifted from being underwater. How many people? A million people?
Of the 15 million borrowers who are underwater.
Well, home prices have not risen all that much. If they've risen at all this year, it's 2%. So I don't know how that would have taken almost anyone out from being underwater. I mean, what I suggest is a federal program to give all these people swimsuits and snorkels just to go in their front door. That's how far underwater most people are. Okay, it's a little joke out there for
anyone who's paying attention.
Yeah, little snorkel joke. And we've had that issue here in Southern California to a great extent. Yes, let's take an area like Arizona. Prices went down 65% from their high. Yes, they've gone up 8% in certain areas of Arizona. So now they're only down 57%. I would say that leaves a similar amount of people underwater. Pretty similar.
Right. So did you hear about the new rules aimed at helping homeowners?
Which ones are you referring to exactly?
Well, supposedly there are some new rules. CNN released an article titled New Rules Aimed at Helping Homeowners.
Well, I will say there is one rule that I feel was good, and that is that finally, through HAMP programs, investor-owned properties up to four, and with 1 to 4 units, are eligible for modification under certain circumstances, okay?
That's wonderful.
And that is excellent. So that's one of them. You know, is that the rule you were referring to?
Actually, I believe I was referring to the OCC and their new regulations giving homeowners more information on its outstanding balances and pending interest rates changes in the aim of new rules for mortgage services proposed Friday by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yes, that is true for new mortgages, okay? It's a first for the home mortgage industry, and services would have to respond to homeowners' calls for information or complaints within 5 days. According to this, no such rule exists now. And I'll tell you, you can wait days and days and days and days and days for a call back. I am not sure, though, that putting a 5-day rule in effect, unless it has teeth behind it, unless there's some incentive or penalty for the banks, they don't follow rules. They don't follow the same rules as we do.
So you don't believe that this new regulation will actually change anything?
I don't think so.
Because it's a first for the entire mortgage servicing industry that would require services to respond to homeowners' calls for information and complaints within the 5 days, because no rules exist now. And yeah, I understand there needs to be some teeth behind it, but there's no such rules that exist now. So if we change the way the system is being run, do the homeowners have some type of hope?
We'll see. We'll see. I'm not optimistic. There's a lot of rules out there now that aren't being followed. Like, if you're doing a modification, you're supposed to have a point of contact assigned to you. That's one point, so that you don't have to be run around, oh, Mary's handling it. Oh, Mary's not handling it. Tom's handling it. Oh, and it goes back and forth. I will give credit to Chase Bank for when they give a POC, they actually stay with it. So they have followed it, and it's much, much better to have one person who understands your file when you're trying to get something done, rather than it being relearned every single time. But that is a rule, the POC rule.
Right. Well, the POC rule has absolutely helped me on a lot of my files, and I know once I get a good POC, somebody who I actually POC, for those of you who don't understand, is point of contact. And when I do get into contact with somebody who is great and I have a connection with and I can tell understands what they're doing and actually really wants to help the homeowner, that's the time when I actually continue to call them and to see if they can help another homeowner that I know out, because unfortunately some of these point of contacts, and this is just exposing the situation, don't really care. They don't plug in the documents that they need to show to the underwriter, and they don't push it through, and they just live their lives doing whatever they want to pursue, and they're not really thinking about the repercussions of them not locking in these specific documents, which could be the loss of someone's home.
Exactly. And I think you've hit that pinpoint. Many people go to work, and, you know, it's break time, it's lunch time, it's dinner time, it's goodbye time. When you get a really good POC who cares the way we care about people, they really care. It's not about the hours you're spending. It's about how can you help the customer. When that is with a POC, there's nothing better. And they're there. They're there for sure, but hard to find them. Something that we really strive for when we do our work is finding a good POC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So can you believe there's 15 million homes underwater?
I can, because I've been swimming through them.
So if your home is underwater, this would be a good time for you to call our company. We have a Facebook page. It's Financial Sanity Now, and you could like us on Facebook. And if you have any questions, you could write us a message on there, and we'll be sure to get back to you within 24 hours, 24 business hours, that is. And additionally, we do have a telephone number, 866-753-4028. We have assisted people lower their total mortgage principal by cutting their mortgage by as much as half. It wasn't us. It was the VAJ program. We just guided the consumers in what to do to get these programs on their loans. We've helped a lot of people with their credit card debts and a lot of other things. So once again, telephone number 866-753-4028. You could email my father, Allen, at A-L-L-E-N, at Advanced Economic Strategies. That stands for Allen at AES77.com. And if you have any questions, I'm sure I'll make sure that he gets back to you.
Well, that's really nice of you, and I will definitely get back to them. Let me bring up a couple of those things that you mentioned, though. One is about credit card debt, because I think there's a lot more people actually drowning in credit card debt than there are even homes on the water. There's a lot of homes on the water, but there's just everyone's been able to get a credit card. What's happened here, there's a great book called Credit Card Nation. And what happened with the credit card companies, most people aren't old enough to remember, but they really didn't come into effect until the 60s. I'll give you a little history. The first one was called Diners Club, and it was given out to people just to use at restaurants. It became somewhat popular. American Express got into the business after that. But you always paid your balance that month. It was within a few years later that as the economy was rising, because there was increased prosperity during the late 60s, that it was thought that, hey, if I get a credit card and I can pay it over time, why not? So I'll take a $3,000 vacation, I'll pay it back, and I'll be making more money next year. Makes sense. In a way it did, and also, by the way, credit card interest rates were much lower. Even though the bank prime rate has never been as low as it is today. But it was pegged. So if the rate today was zero, you used to get credit cards at 3 or 4%. And it wasn't until there were certain companies that came out and started to charge 8, 9, 10. In fact, in New York State, where I grew up, there were usury laws. Anything over 18% was usury. It was illegal. Those laws were dropped, and then certain banks came out with 20-21%. So it became filled up on itself. Credit cards started to become mailed to college students. So if you give a college student a credit line for $2,500, what's he or she going to do? They'll buy some clothes, they'll go on a spring break vacation, and they'll worry about it later or call their parents to make the payment. But it becomes an addiction. Credit cards are addictive, and they became an addiction. During the years 2000 to 2008, credit card use was huge. Because everyone thought, well, you know, I'll get the credit card, then I'll get this equity line, then I'll pay off the credit card, then I'll just go on the equity line. And it went round and around. At this point, if you have credit card debt, over $20,000, I would suggest doing something about it. Because you're probably just paying off your interest. And that is keeping you in a bad spiral. Several things you can do. You can look for settlement, but that does hurt your credit.
So this is a part of the weekly tips.
This is weekly tips. You can bankrupt. Some people we know have had to do that. They have $200,000 in credit card debt. People are suing them.
Up to three. The first deal that my father gave me when I first came to work with him, this couple had a joint credit card debt totaling up to $300,000.
Yeah. So in those cases, perhaps bankruptcy is a good idea. We suggest find a good bankruptcy attorney in your area and talk to them. It's not always possible, but, you know, look into it. The second thing is settlement. Well, can I settle this debt at 10 cents on the dollar, 15, 20 cents? And there's a lot of companies around who tell you, I'll do that for you. We'll just put the money in a certain account, and we'll settle it for you over 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Don't do that. Don't do that because if you really want to settle, after 6 months of not paying, the banks want to settle with you. They're going to make you offers. Problem is, it's bad for your credit. Other problem is, you will get a 1099-C. It's called earned income. So if you settle for 10 and you owe 20, that's $10,000 extra dollars you earned. Did you really earn it? No, but you use the money. And the IRS considers that income, and you'll wind up paying for it in income tax. All these things must be carefully calculated before you do them. And that's why our motto is always plan, 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 plan. Think ahead. How's my mortgage payment coming? Do I have enough to cover it? Think ahead. What am I doing with these credit cards? Am I bringing them down? And then we have the plan we work with, which is lower that interest rate down to 0 to 2%. Bunch these cards up and make one payment a month towards all the cards and pay it off in 60 months because you're paying off principal only. Does not hurt your credit. Does not get you a 1099-C.
And that's through our company, Advanced Economic Strategies.
Right.
You can also reach us on our website. If you go to www.financialsanitynow.com, we have an entire website, and you could see some of the work that we've done helping a lot of homeowners. Additionally, you could also buy my father's homeowner's relief kit. It's a book. It's online. You can access that through the website, or you can call us 866-753-4028.
Yes. And in the book, there's a part for credit card debt as well. So I think that that's a very good investment to get into.
Well, yeah, they're investing into them, into themselves, into,
right,
you know, managing their money. A lot of problems, most problems stem around money. So if you know how to balance your budget right, and if you know how to pay off your debts along with living and not living in a bubble where you don't get to go on vacation, you don't, you know, have enough money to pay your medical bills and other severe things that everybody needs to pay for unless you're in the Olympics, which I'm sure they still have medical bills as well, injuries and whatnot.
Sure they do.
They should absolutely call us at 866-753-4028. It's very important.
I think that's good advice. So let's get back a little bit to homes. We're actually nearing the last quarter of the year. And as we all know, there's an election coming up as well. And so there's things that are expiring at the end of this year, like the Tax Forgiveness Act for principal reduction. So if you're looking for principal reduction, look into it right away. Will it be passed again? I don't know. That's a congressional thing. I think everyone understands that the Congress, by the way, has a 12% approval rating. And my question about that is, who are those 12%? Because Congress hasn't been doing anything. They've been just blocking everything. And so we don't know what's going to happen after that. But with the election coming up, there are certain programs that are going to change unless they're recreated or refunded. So I would suggest people, if you have a second mortgage, take a look at our website. We talk about that, www.financialsanitynow.com. We have been able to settle certain second mortgages at 10 cents, 20 cents on the dollar, and it sure makes a big difference to get that off your house. So while things are possible, I say, you know, it's cloudy time, but there's always a silver lining, and I think the silver lining right now is the ability, or the possibility, put it like that, the possibility to deal with second mortgages, to deal with credit card debt. Our job is to make you aware and to let you know there are solutions out there. Okay, so don't feel like you're caught in a circle. All right, especially our listeners out there in Tennessee. Don't feel like it's a circle, I know. We mainly deal with people in California, that's the truth. But we did have some listeners who bought our book in other states, and we thank those people.
Yeah, absolutely, because the thing is, this is happening all across the United States, and we've helped people just, you know, by consulting them in Washington, Oregon, Florida, and, you know, it's all consulting, it's all, you know, on the telephone, but these people have saved their homes and even
trying to help them out on
wiped second mortgages clean. Or there have been so many miraculous events that I've personally witnessed and been a part of, and unfortunately in life there comes some miracles, some unbelievable success stories, and then there comes some horror stories, some situations that have occurred that are absolutely horrific. And one of them is the chief of the Los Angeles Fire Station, who will be coming on air. His wife will be coming on air to represent him in about 5 minutes. And so our listeners out there will be able to hear her side, not just our perspective, but the borrower's perspective, the family's perspective, the homeowner's perspective.
Am I right, Elena, that this very sweet woman, who, by the way, got a full modification. She'll tell her story, but she's sick. Is that right?
She's recovering. She's recovering. She'll tell you more about it. I'm sure, you know, she'll have a lot to say about at least the matter regarding her home mortgage, because that's the main thing right now that she's trying to focus on. So, Dad, I have a question. Did you read about the mortgage probe announced 6 months ago by President Obama that is yet to announce any actions that can soon lead to change?
No, I haven't.
It was a joint federal and state probe into mortgage-backed securities fraud. It was close to significant action, with a possible announcement coming in weeks, according to a source familiar with the probe. Despite last week's announcement that the Department of Justice was closing a criminal investigation into Goldman Sachs' role in the financial crisis, members of a mortgage probe convened by the president said that they are still investigating big banks that packaged and sold bad mortgages in the years leading up to the financial crisis.
Right. It's not that I haven't heard of it. It's just that no action has been taken at all. This has to do with mortgage-backed securities and the so-called owners of the mortgage-backed securities that are unwilling to help the homeowners.
Well, just so everybody out there is aware, the members of the residential mortgage-backed securities, according to this article on CNN Money, posted Wednesday, August 15, 2012, are the members of the Residential Mortgage-Backed Securities Working Group, which include attorneys from the Justice Department, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the New York Attorney General's Office. And they declined to say who or what they've been investigating, citing the sensitive nature of ongoing investigations.
Okay. Well, that doesn't give us very much information, does it? So the information I'd like to give our people is that mortgage-backed securities have been an issue both for the investors who invested in this, who are upset with the mortgage-backed securities that were formed by the banks. So that's part of it, part of the reason they're investigating, not so much for the consumer but for the investors. And investors are important. You know, if you're investing in something, you do want to get a rate of return. But also because so many of the banks are just acting as servicers for mortgage-backed securities. So your mortgage-backed security, your loan is owned by a mortgage-backed security. Well, it kind of sounds like, you know, it's not a person. Who's your loan? A mortgage-backed security. So maybe it's owned by a robot. Maybe it's, what is that? You know, the... Abyss or the Matrix, somewhere in the Matrix.
Right.
And once loans are not owned by people who can make decisions to help others, it used to be when a bank gave you a mortgage, the bank held that mortgage. And that mortgage was collateral that was collateralized by the house. And that worked. That system worked. Well, mortgage-backed securities pumped a lot more money into the system, but it also made it very impersonal, and it doesn't seem to have a decision maker who can help the homeowner. Who's the decision maker of the mortgage-backed security? Who is it?
That's a great question. That's a question we've been struggling to find out for a while now, especially when, okay. So we were informed that Josie Cornejo is on the air. Josie, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Josie. My father's going to say hello to you, and then he has to go. So
Josie, hello. Helena's going to be talking with you on the air, okay?
Okay, thank you, Alan.
Okay.
Okay, wonderful. Josie, how are you doing today?
I could be doing better, but I'm okay.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that you're okay. Our listeners like to know that you're okay. So I kind of gave a brief description of your story. I just said that, what is Frank's exact position? What does he do?
He's a captain for a fire department.
So he's the captain of the fire department. So I let people know that he's the captain of the fire department. And that, how many children do you have?
We have three. And we've got one in college, one in high school, and one in elementary school.
Right, and you have three kids. So how long have you been living in your home?
16 years.
16 years. And the entire time, was your mortgage owned by Bank of America?
Originally, it was owned by Countrywide, and I think Bank of America took over the note when Countrywide went out of business.
Right.
And so it's been with Bank of America since then.
So since the merger?
Yes.
I remember when that happened because Bank of America also took over a loan on our home after Countrywide sold it off.
Uh-huh.
Right, so the merger. So that's been a number of years that Bank of America has owned your home loan.
Yes, they have.
So I know you. I know these questions. I'm just going to ask you these questions so our listeners can really understand your story.
Okay.
So how long ago did you come to my company to ask us for help? Do you remember what year that was?
It was in 2009, December of 2009.
Right. And how long approximately did this process take just for you to be issued a trial modification?
It took, maybe about the first modification that we originally, the trial one we started with them was, took about 6 months. And then we've been through two until the final one that they gave us this last year.
And it took, after the trial, it took more than 3 months to get your final documents out, correct?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely.
Do you remember how many more months?
It was about 4.5 because we were going into the 5th month before we actually got everything official and everything was set in stone.
And Bank of America issued your family or your husband a final loan modification that was in October 2012?
Yes, it was, yes.
And that was after the 4.5 months of being put on trial, when they issued a document out that it would take no longer than 3.
Yes, definitely.
3 months. Right. So, according to my records, it says here that they sent a notary out to your home to get the final loan modification documents signed and notarized on October 26, 2011. Do you recall that date?
Yes. The notary came that evening, and we signed everything, and he FedExed everything the following morning to them, because he gave me a confirmation of everything.
So the notary came to your home, and it was you and Frank, obviously.
Uh-huh.
And he had Frank sign the documents, and he put the seal, a stamp on it.
Yes, he did.
Okay. And then he informed you that he would send them right back to Bank of America?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Were you aware at that time that the docs were due October 24th?
No. As a matter of fact, I had called the notary and asked him, when he was going to make it out or if we needed to set anything up. And he said he was waiting for the loan docs to arrive from Bank of America, that he still had not gotten them. That same day, he called me back in the evening and said, I just got them. They just got to me so I could go and see you, and I could go and see you tomorrow because, Frank, my husband was at work. So the following day, he came out to see us, and we signed everything. And that's why he said that he FedExed everything back immediately the following morning because he noticed that they delayed getting the paperwork to him. So I was like, okay. But he wasn't under any – he didn't tell me there would be a problem, and the bank never told us that there was a problem either.
Well, see, the banks didn't say that there was a problem until after they already threw your modification out. So according to the notes, when I spoke to Sophia Gomez on your behalf, she's in the executive office of Bank of America. She told me, per her notes, she showed the final modification documents were received into Bank of America's system as of November 9th, 2011, from the notary and recognized within their system. She also shows a contradicting notation that shows everything was not received on time. So she states, one note shows that the documents were locked in. They're good inside the system. Other notes showing a decline. She stated she would appeal this and have it reopened, and moving forward, she would expedite the request to research as to what happened from the date of the notary to the date that it was actually received at the bank, how this could have happened. So what you're saying is the notary didn't even have the documents yet that B of A needed Frank to sign.
Yes. As of the 24th, Dave, he didn't have them because he called me on the 25th and called me back and told me he had just received them if he could come out the following morning. So they got everything to him late originally. I mean, I'm assuming because the dates on those notary papers should have been back to them by the 24th, which is what Bank of America has told us. I called Bank of America in mid-November just to confirm and ask them, you know, am I going to get a new statement that tells me, you know, when to pay? They told me that they had received everything. They told me that everything was okay. They said just go ahead and make the amount that's on your loan document you have. I kept copies of what the notary gave me. And they said, just keep making that note payment. We're behind. We're about 3 months behind. We're going to get everything updated, and we will notify you by mail with your new statement. I was like, okay, I didn't think to worry about it. I know they're behind. So I was okay with that, and we made our payment. You know, December 1st, we made our modified payment. We had no issue with it. It was made on the 1st. I have proof that it was made. And not until I was getting Nick Bank in December, like December, telling me that they needed more information from us. But in the meantime, I'm calling them, and they keep telling me that it's okay, that they're just behind, that they just haven't updated their record, but that they showed everything was okay. So it was,
you know,
very confusing.
Josie, under normal circumstances, there have been times where I've just had to put my trust in the person I'm talking to at the other end of the story. Unfortunately, in this specific case, this isn't one of them.
Yeah.
You know, we always need some type of written, concrete proof that they're really going to do what they say, because people lie. Somebody forgets to push the button, and they don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to take responsibility for dropping the ball. I remember when you called me in February, and for the listeners out there, please do your research, but I'm going to give you a little bit of facts or information that I know. I'm not a lawyer, so please don't take this as official legal advice, but in the state of California, at least, I know that when you accept money, it's a legally binding contract, and this is just the knowledge that I've attained throughout the years. It doesn't mean it's correct, but that's what I know. And Bank of America took your payment for December, January? Did they take it for February?
In February, they took our payment, but they mailed us a partial payment back in February. So they
I remember
it.
That. I remember that. So when you talked to me in February, I do have some notes here from March 8, 2012, where I spoke to our Andrew Prother in the executive office. His extension is 367621. And he informed me that he showed the notary did not have the documents until October 25th, yet they were due the 24th. He shows the customer relationship manager accepted the docs but didn't send it to close on one end. The other end tried to throw it out for the deadline of docs, even though it was explained as a non-issue between the point of contacts and the Cornejos. That it was shown that this wasn't a problem in his notation system, yet they gave you a big problem. They threw out your final modification after sending a notary, after sending the final documents, legal documentation to your home, sending a notary to your home to sign and notarize it, and then even took your money, binding money, for three months, only to send a partial payment back, then to send the payment back, then to reject the payment, and to now try to put you through this entire process again that you've been going through since 2009.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is that correct?
And also, yes, that's definitely correct. And also, in the meantime, since then, when they have seen, we've been making our modified payment ever since then. We have not gone 1 month without paying since this ordeal started. We always pay. They've sent us payments back. When I pay them, they will send us a payment back. But But three times in March, in April, and in July, they sent me partial payments. One was for like $100, another was for $200, one was $800. So they're not even sending me back the actual payment that I'm making. So I don't know where that money's going. I've asked them, I've called them and asked them to tell me where the money's going, to give me some kind of record of my payments and where the money's getting separated to, and where, how much I'm paying to interest, how much I'm paying to these fees. They refused, and the processor told me that it was fine, that they could not provide me with my own personal information on my own account. They will not give it to me.
It just doesn't make sense to me, Jesse. I don't understand how a bank that's called Bank of America can get away with this to an average family, beyond average. Somebody who's the chief of his fire station, the captain of his fire station, you know, you, your children, this is your home. This is going to be a big battle. And, you know, I hate to say it, Jesse, but you might have to really get them for everything that they've done to you. Because they took your husband's pay subs, they took all the information at the time, and they calculated it through, and they gave him a new payment. They even sent out binding documents. They even took your money for 3 months. And then they're going to play this game and say, oh, there's contradicting notes in the system. We'll do our research. We'll fix it. No, why don't we re-put this in again? No, that's not going to happen. They cannot get away with doing this to the consumers of our nation. And, you know, I apologize that this situation has ever occurred, but, you know, I'm telling you on air, and I'm telling you just as a, on a personal note, that I will not, you know, leave your side and not let you, you know, suffer down this road without helping you to my fullest ability.
Oh, thank you. You and Ellen have been very helpful. I mean, I honestly did not understand a lot of this stuff when it was happening. And without your information and you helping us, we would have been lost. The bank would have taken advantage of us much, much sooner than they did. So we appreciate that. But I think that Bank of America says they're the Bank of America. They're not. They don't care about the American people. They don't care about us. We're hardworking people. My husband's a hardworking man. He's out there saving lives. He went to 9/11 and he helped. They don't care. They don't care about anybody. They just want to take our home. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't get it. I think more people need to step up and they need to do something about the bank. People that are in trouble, the people that are letting the banks do this to them, they need to step up and they need to fight these banks, because these banks are, they're crooks. They don't care about us. They don't care about
absolutely
the people.
And I think the first step that somebody can do without, you know, if they don't like conflict, is pull your money out. If you have money sitting there in Bank of America, pull it out.
Oh,
pull
yeah.
It out.
I've already told all my family members know what we're going to do. And I have all my family members, I've told them, take your money out of the bank. You do not want to give your money to that bank. They're horrible. They're horrible. So we used to have some money put away. We had a couple of CDs with Bank of America. We took everything out, everything, because they don't care about us.
No, they do not. And that's the first step that our listeners, if you're listening and if you're in America, because we actually air to 300 different countries throughout the world, from what I'm told. So if you're in America and you're listening, the first step that you can do, and especially if you have a debit card or a debit account with Bank of America, is pull your money out. Pull your money out. If you have credit, if you owe to Bank of America, you can, you know, do a transfer. Try to transfer a lot of it to another lender. There are certain banks that are a little bit more trustworthy. I would recommend either Citi or Chase over Bank of America, because I've never seen as much corruption go on as I have with Bank of America. And Bank of America owns a lot of my family's home mortgages. My aunt, my father, my uncle, my grandmother, they own a lot of mortgages. And they have on their website, I don't know if you know this, Jesse, they have a section where they're reselling homes that they just foreclosed on.
Oh, yeah.
It's a giant business.
Yeah, And that's sort of what scares me, is that we have a beautiful home. We've worked very hard for our home, and they just want to take it from us. They want to take it and resell it. They don't care. They don't care. And they've admitted, Helena, they've admitted that they've made a fault, a mistake. Andrew Poffler has straight out told me that we're sorry, it was our mistake, we're working to fix it, and they just don't do anything about it.
He's told me the same thing. Andrew Prosser, Sarah Huntress, Sophia Gomez, other Bank of America executive reps who have failed to comply with their word. These complaint letters have been sent to the OCC, the FDIC, and a number of other complaint organizations, and they have forwarded these specific complaint requests to the bank, and the bank is supposed to resolve issues that are brought to light, especially through these consumer protection organizations, but they have not. They have not complied with the regulations set forth, and it's a constant battle. But we fortunately just got in contact with a great lawyer, and hopefully he can. Hopefully this is a blessing in disguise. I'm hoping that this whole torment of everything that the bank has been doing to you since 2009 can work out for the greater of your benefit and can really teach the bank a lesson. And for consumers listening, really teach you a lesson as to, you know, make sure to get every piece of document, make sure, you know, maybe even tell them that you're going to record their call and record them so that it can be used in a court of law, because you can't use it in a court of law unless you tell them, I'm going to record this now. And most of the time when I have told Bank of America reps that, they tell me, okay, then I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah,
I wonder why.
It's
a lot of lack of responsibility, and it really shows where our nation's going, and we really need to work together to straighten out our economic system, or else we're going to tank way harder than we ever have before. Way harder.
Yes, I agree. They're out to, I think Bank of America is out to ruin this country. They don't care about the country. They don't care about those people. They just care about their own executives and themselves. That's all they care about.
And most of the time when you call the normal 800 number, telephone number, you get routed to India or the Philippines. Bank of America,
Yeah, right. Yes, definitely.
And the only reason we were able to speak with people in America, in Iowa or in Des Moines, was because we called the executive office with extensive research. This is how we've been able to even to speak to people who would take responsibility on the phone, whether or not they took responsibility on paper or did something about it. They at least recognized that there was contradicting notations within their own system that don't make sense. You and I have both heard it. Is there anything that you want to ask the listeners to do for you and your family?
Well, I mean, it would help if they try to stand up to Bank of America, too. If they would, you know, stand up to them, take their money out of the bank from Bank of America. Don't give them anything, because they're, as soon as they're in trouble themselves, the listeners out there, as soon as you find yourself in trouble, God forbid if it does happen, they're not going to be there to help you. They're not going to be there to help you. They're not going to care about your family, your children. Just pull your money out of the bank. And if you are in trouble right now, get a lawyer. Stop listening to their excuses if they're there to help you, because they're not there to help you. Get a lawyer and sue the bank. You need to stand up for yourself, because the bank isn't going to do it for you. And, you know, you're going to lose a home that you have worked so hard for. It's not okay. It's not your fault if it's happening right now. It's happening to a lot of us. It's not our fault.
Not. It's absolutely not. That's 16 years, 3 children. Your husband's out there saving lives. You've been a great mother, great wife, great person, great friend to our company, to myself personally. You've always been a joy to talk to. And I'm just so sorry that this has happened to you, but I promise I will not allow them to take your home without a fight.
Thank you. Thank you to both of you and Alan.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. No, it's really our pleasure. And, you know, for the consumers out there listening, if you're experiencing anything like this, God forbid, you can call us 866-753-4028. You could look us up on our website, www.financialsanitynow.com. Josie, it was a pleasure having you on the air. If there, you know, I know I'm going to talk to you either this week or next week, but, you know, you could always call me should you have any questions. And I really wanted to just thank you for being a guest on our show today here at BBS, because we definitely need some exposure and we need to really reveal the banks for what they're doing and work together as a nation.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you to the listeners for hearing my story.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. So everybody, that was Josie Cornejo. She was, she's been very helpful during this whole process. She's given me all the documents I need to fight the bank. There have been a number of executives that have supposedly tried to help her and her husband on this file, but they have not responded. If you want, you know, you could contact my company to see if there's anything you could do to help her. You could email me at Helena, H-E-L-E-N-A, at aes77.com. I will make sure to respond to you within 24 business hours. And you could also check out our website, www.financialsanitynow. There are different ways that you can get into contact with us. We have a telephone number, 866-753-4028. And just to change the tune for a minute, we did have a success story this last week where we did get a loan modification through with Wells Fargo, and we helped one woman. Her husband is suffering from severe back injuries, and she received a new trial modification payment. We're going to be with her throughout the whole 3 months, and then after the 3 months, we're going to help her to finalize it. And then she's working on another, actually, investment property. She bought the property a few years ago down the street from her home. And we're going to help her change the interest rate and make it an affordable payment on that. And she told me that after she gets the new payments on these two homes, her life may be finally back to order. And these are in her own words where she stated she really needs the help. I mean, if you could save yourself $200, $300, $400, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000. I once personally saved somebody $5,000 a month on their first mortgage alone. This gentleman's home was very far underwater, so he had a significant principal reduction, over $321,000, where his payment went from $7,400 plus to $2,400 plus. And that was an interest only. Then he finally went from an interest only loan to a principal and interest loan, including property taxes and homeowners insurance. So that's $2,400, including property taxes and homeowners insurance. Actually, it's over a $5,000 savings if you do the numbers calculating in the property tax and the homeowners insurance, which is on average $100 a month. So if you are having any of these problems, your home is underwater, your interest rate is too high, you just want to save a few hundred dollars to however many thousands of dollars per month times 12, which is that year, times 30 years, which is the average life of a mortgage loan, you could save yourself hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest. This is what I've done for the majority of my clientele. I never lose a home, not personally. Our company, Advanced Economic Strategies, has never lost a home. We are fighting for the consumer, and we're really just here to help. So if you have any questions, once again, you could email me at Helena, H-E-L-E-N-A, at aes77.com, or you can call me at 866-753-4028. A local number is 818-906-2385, or you can go to our website, www.financialsanitynow, or our Facebook page, Financial Sanity Now. Like us, send me a message. I'll make sure to get back to you. This is what I do. This is what I live for. Believe it or not, I actually like my job. So I hope all of you out there listening have an amazing week, and I look forward to tuning in and speaking to the listeners next week. Take care.